Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I cannot believe that I have not done a Zoom with this guy. He is one of the more familiar voices in my life, certainly for baseball. If you've been a part of my world over the last 25 plus odd years, and now in my 30th year of radio, you may not have seen him because we've only done radio together and have never done a Zoom before. Alan McCallum joins us now from the McCallum Estate, bearing really cool baseball caps. You know, I figured you could virtual background yourself into the old Oriole Park if you wish, Alan. But good day to you. Welcome. It's must be baseball season if you're visiting, right?
Yeah, it's definitely baseball season. They've started playing. Whether sports should be playing is another discussion for another day. But baseball is being played on the field, so that's a good thing.
Where are you? It's been a while, man. I mean, I have bared my Oriole soul. Here's where I am. We cleaned the closets out. We're selling my condo after 18 years, cleaning some stuff out. And for whatever reason, the closet thing came down and it wasn't put back up. And that's where my jerseys were, right? So my Skipjacks, my Ravens, my Orioles jersey that you've been pictured with in me over 25 years. Sure. I've had that jersey longer than I've had you, by a little bit, but not by much. And I said to my wife, just put them in a box and put them down in storage. You're like, I don't feel like I'm going to need my Oriole jersey this year to run around. If I go to an Oriole game with you or somebody else, I'll wear something else. But boy, the Orioles are, you know, sailing right now from a lot of people. They didn't play last year, really. No one could go. They played 60 games. They're awful. They're folding minor league teams. The games aren't on TV in the spring. Apparently, Uncle Larry's going to let everybody in. If they want to come down here and run and germinate each other in early April, they may at a fee, of course. Where are you? You know, where is your? Are you paying attention still, or are you not even cut out to be my Oriole insider any longer?
I don't know if I'm qualified to be an insider at this point. I still know the game. I'd be lying if I told you that life circumstances haven't pulled me away from the minute details which I used to know the sport. You know, the Orioles needed to rebuild. I think it's a good thing that they make the decision after 14 losing seasons and then what, 6 or 7 seasons of relative viability, 3 trips to the postseason. I think they knew they had to do it, and it was a good thing to see them finally make that decision to start from the ground up. It was, I have no problem with the rebuild. Rebuild mean losing for a while. It's always good to be on top, but there comes a point when you've never done it that you have to make that decision, particularly when you're faced with the Yankees and the Red Sox, the payrolls of those teams, the ingenuity of the Tampa Bay Rays, and the recent competitiveness after dismantling of the Toronto Blue Jays.
If you don't have money, you better have ingenuity in any industry.
You had to do something. It was frustrating to see players like Cancer Alberto and Renato Nunez let go at the end of the season. Not that these players were diamonds, so to speak, but they were certainly useful, productive players that, you know, when Mike Elias took over, he said, some of the players that are here will be with us when we win a championship. They were pieces, and you look at the landscape. The pandemic has certainly cost the sports world, the entertainment world, financially. So you knew some things were going to be coming. I chalk those players up, the loss of those players up to that. The Chris Davis contract looms heavy over this franchise.
I didn't even mention that. Of all the embarrassing things that are, I mean, Luke has gone so far as to call it a disgrace. You know what I mean? And Luke doesn't use hyperbole around here. You know, like, I don't even think it's in the top 5 of embarrassing things they do. But the point for that, for me this week was, what if I'm one of the kids in the room? What if I'm one of the players? You know, how are you gaslighting me that this guy's still here? You know, and that you've changed how you're doing things in business and you're really rebuilding and you're shoving this down Brandon Hyde's throat, letting him deal with it. It's bizarre. You know what I mean? It's It's so Angelos. It's like the old man still sitting up and eating something other than pudding, that this is actually happening, because only someone like him wouldn't just pay the guy and say, go home.
Nestor, you've been covering sports for a long time, right? You've got, name me a player in any sport, professional sport in America, who isn't a gamble every time you sign them. Would I assign Chris Davis to that contract? We've had that conversation many times. The answer was no before he signed it. The answer was no after he signed it. And the answer is still no now. So, I mean, that was my instinct. I think a lot of the sabermetricians in the sport would have said the same thing, but they did it. The San Diego Padres just signed Tatis to, I believe, a 14-year deal. It looks like a steal now. If he gets hurt tomorrow, or if he falls apart 2 years into the contract, then it's going to look horrible. That is the risk you take.
If you're Mr. Angelos, you buy insurance on Albert Bell 20 years ago, and it doesn't cost you anything.
Sure. I think everyone understands that. It's a roll of the dice. There have been insinuations that Chris Davis hasn't done the work as an athlete to keep himself on top. I'm not privy to that. But it was a risk to sign him, and they're suffering the consequences. And the reality is, and we've talked about this many times as well. For me, it was never about the amount of money per season, but the number of years, about a decade ago, went out of control. 3 to 5 years always felt like a worthy risk for a player you wanted. And now it's 7, 10, 14 years. For the teams, if it's a young player who has the arbitration years ahead, then it makes sense to take that risk. Chris Davis was not in that situation. And there have been a lot of contracts in the sport where that was not the situation. And to sign a player for that long is a risk that makes very little sense to me. But
to be putting him on the field at this point, that's...
I don't think who's to say whether he's going to see the field much at all this year or not. We'll see. But ultimately, there are a ton of young players on the team, either on the 40-man roster or just below it, and they're moving forward despite that circumstance with a ton of talent, moving up on all the farm system lists. And the question now is how much of that will turn into viable major league prospects and candidates. And ultimately, that's about coaching. That's about talent. That's about bringing guys up at the right time and hopefully having enough support and depth in your farm system that if the first guy doesn't make it, the second or third guy will.
Alan McCallum is here, my longtime baseball analyst and the Oriole fan, one time insider before they threw him out too. They're going to let some people back in. I know you and your sister held a 13-game plan for a number of years, and it was a family thing to do and go into the games and whatnot. Give me a little primer on Alan McCallum, ball cap, coming back to Camden Yards. What would bring you back this summer? And is it something that, I mean, for me, I've said to everybody, and you know, I mean, you're in the music business, you're in the theater business a long time, you know, your whole adult life. To me, the lawn at Merriweather with a beer, that's when I'm going to feel whole again. You know what I mean? To me, that's good enough. No offense to your theater, the Warner Theater, and that stick show I missed down there a year ago this week and whatever. I'd like to do that. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to going back to indoors for a concert, to the Royal Farms Arena, wherever. But if this year I could have a beer at Merriweather in September on the lawn for something that I want to see in some way, you know, I'll feel like it's a year well spent.
We're a few days shy of it being a year since I left the Kennedy Center, where I just started 5.5 months before with my new theater.
Dream job, right?
Absolutely. And we had not, we haven't had a full stage performance since. Look, the pandemic is as real and as frightening as anything I know I've ever experienced in my life. My sister and I are taking care of our parents. Ultimately, everything else is trumped by that. I I personally don't think that we should be playing professional sports right now until we get things under control. Anything that that creates a circumstance where people want to gather together is something that we need to be really, really cautious about. There's nothing I'd rather do than go to a baseball game at Camden Yards, except maybe going to the movies at midnight after I get off work. That was a ritual. And I love doing that. I love going to concerts. I love all of those experiences. I love being around people. But the reality is the responsible thing for Americans to do is to certainly socially distance and make serious decisions about what is worth putting yourself at risk. Because when you put yourself at risk, you're putting everyone else that's involved in your life in those same risks. Wearing masks, doing everything you can to stay healthy and protect yourself and protect the people you love is really important. So what would get me to Camden Yards right now? If a significant number of people are vaccinated, if we have...
Well, we're at 100 million now. So you say significant number. That's a big number.
We're getting there. If we see a substantial drop in hospitalizations and we get the word from the CDC that we have entered a new realm, a positive realm where we can start to gather and assemble. I mean, a lot of it, I'll tell you, when I get called back to work shows in the concert hall, because my organization has been incredibly responsible about such things, that is a sign that CDC, government, everyone involved, thinks that we are
given insurance in your business, you'll be the last to come home, right? Like literally that's the word on concerts and theater gatherings would be insurance, right? Like that's a very real world issue, right?
Absolutely. But ultimately with sports, I mean, you're talking about a circumstance where, look, if they're going to play, great. I watched a lot of baseball last summer, watched the playoffs were actually fantastic, and I enjoyed watching that on television.
A lot of people are watching spring training right now, Al. Not us, but a lot of people are.
That is very true. but ultimately, the decision to go back will be based on science, will be based on the voices that I respect that know a heck of a lot more about pandemics and communicability than I do when they say,
well, okay, I guess that's why I brought up insurance, because when the insurance companies say it's safe to go, right, then you'll open theaters until that point. You know what I mean? Until they're really willing to underwrite the true risk of it, right? There won't be shows. I mean, seriously, that's probably the safety net that's built into this thing that people don't really realize.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I mean, for me, you know, if they say it takes Johnny Oates, when he was manager of the Orioles, used to say, if a player is hurt and he tells me that, you know, he goes on the DL or whatever, he sits for a couple of days and he tells me he's ready, I give it another day just to make sure that we have a little cushion. If they say COVID lasts for 2 days on cardboard or 3 days on plastic, I give it 4 or 5 days before I initiate it, unless I wipe it down with Lysol or whatever. So if they tell me it's safe to go back to baseball games, then I'm going to give it a little while to see if that's really true. So for me, call it paranoia, call it over precaution, call it what you want. I like to have that little built-in cushion when it's possible before I start doing those kinds of things. I visited some friends when it was warmer in the fall outside around campfires and in parks, in parking lots, that kind of stuff, just to spend some time together. I'm good waiting until...
I feel the same way. I feel like, you know, like if I could bump into line and get a shot right now, all right, I get the shot, I'm sick tonight, I'm better tomorrow, a month from now, I'm vaccinated. I don't know really what that's buying me that I'm going to want to do, because like, I'll be honest with you, Alan, if I got together with you this week and I could, given the weather, I wouldn't make it inside my condo anyway. I'd say, let's go sit outside. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. To me, the whole notion is we can all get together safely. I'm like, Well, I can come over to your fire pit, wear a mask, and if you've been shot up, you don't have to wear a mask. Good for you. I don't, it's not, the things I want to do, seeing the Stones, seeing Pearl Jam, you know, going to Vegas for, you know, traveling, hanging out in places I want to hang out. Most of those things, to your point, involve people or gathering or whatever, but it can be done safely. You're a year into this. And one of these things about Uncle Larry opening the state up, you know, in restaurants and whatnot is sort of like, people like you aren't going anyway. And the people that do go are by and large used to wearing a mask at this point, right? That I haven't seen. I've seen one person in the last 6 months without a mask. I was in a Walmart. I had to go. It was the one time I went to Walmart. 800 people there. Everybody had a mask. Some kid was being a jackass. Wasn't wearing a mask. But I don't know that I've seen 100 faces of human beings this summer. Even walking through the harbor, everybody has a mask on. So, you know, I feel like we're into that. Everybody that's wearing a mask, even if they're grudgingly doing it, they do sort of understand the terms. The fact that you have it on means safety, hands, virus, it's real. Somebody you know had it. Somebody you know got sick from it. Somebody you know died from it. Somebody you know knows somebody that died from it. So, like, I think for the most part, even amongst Republicans, at this point, you know, the next couple of months are going to be what we would have expected all along, which is some people are going to get it, some people aren't going to get it, but you're going to stay home, and I'm probably going to stay home because there's nothing out there for me.
I've seen a few more faces than that, but yes, by and large, the vast majority of people seem to be wearing them. You know, I mentioned the movies. Well, I've got Amazon, and I've got Hulu, and I've got all the other places where I can watch movies that I want to see.
Nobody's talking. You can stop it, go to the bathroom, pause it, replay it.
It's a different experience, but it's an experience nonetheless. I've waited a year. I can wait a little longer. And the idea is that the things that I want to do, by and large, there are some businesses, some restaurants, that some other things that have gone the way of the dodo bird, which really is sad and disappointing, which is a discussion for another day.
Which is the reason I was having National Meatball Day at Amici's on Tuesday night. Because, right, like, supporting our friends, our family, or the most important people, supporting the local businesses that have supported me, you know, State Fair and Fadley's and Costas and El Guapo and, you know, Wise Markets is now on with us. And, you know, we're trying to stay true to all of that, but I'm with you. If my favorite places, you know, I remember when Reggie's closed, you know, James Joyce is gone, right? Like, there are places now that I can't go back to. We need to make sure that our favorite places are still there.
Right. And for the ones that are gone, I mourn them, but a lot of other things are going to be there, and I can wait until the time comes to go back.
Including Orioles. What's your Orioles prognosticate? What you're going to watch them this summer while you care for your parents and get your own shot and all that. What, for those who are watching all summer, and I'm probably not going to be that guy. I'm just not. After a plague, I'm not going to sit and watch a bunch of nothings and no names, a team that's not even trying play baseball on a Tuesday night in May when it's 80 degrees out. And I've been sitting in a plague for a year. I'm going to go eat a crab cake somewhere. I'm going to go do something, you know? Right. And that's what I'm going to do all year. But, and that's probably one of the reasons I threw the jersey down. I'm like, you know, who am I kidding? They threw me out 16 years ago. I'll come back when they want me back and they apologize to me and everybody like me and up their game and stop lying to people and the 2-year lease. And, you know, it's been 29 years next week, right? 29 years since they opened, right? So I've witnessed all of it. This is a summer where there's no real baseball reason to watch. If you love baseball, great, but a couple of players that probably won't be here anyway in the end.
Look, you say they're not trying. Are they trying to win the World Series in 2021? No. Are they trying to build something long-term? Yes. So it's about adjusting.
I agree with that, by the way. I just want to concur with that.
It's about adjusting your expectation. What are you watching for? Am I watching to see whether Felix Hernandez becomes the Cy Young award-winning guy that he was? No. That will not be, because one of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to be as bad as he's been for the last couple of years, which is more likely than not. Or he will be good. He's never going to be as good as he was, but he'll be good enough to get traded, and he'll get traded before the All-Star breaks. I mean, that's reality. But am I watching to see, you know, Keegan Aiken or Dean Kramer come up and show Bruce Zimmerman, show some talent? Sure. Do I want to see whether Jamai Jones was worth the cost of Alex Cobb getting a plane ticket to Anaheim? Sure. Do I want to see Adley Rutschman play? I mean, I don't think he's going to start the year with them, but yeah, at some point I assume he's going to come up and I want to see that. I want to see Trey Mancini rebuild his career and hopefully become something like the comeback player of the year. We want to see Ryan Mountcastle. So there are reasons to watch. This isn't David Segee at the twilight of his career coming back to the Orioles.
I always bring up Jay Payton, but okay.
It's not, hopefully it's not Jay Gibbons and the like. We're expecting to see some talent. And quite frankly, there's some great talent in the game. I mean, if you don't want to watch the Orioles, watching some of the players on the Toronto Blue Jays is could be pretty exciting. Watching the Chicago White Sox come into town could be pretty exciting.
So, I hear the Padres are going to be good.
And they've got a couple of Orioles on that club too. So, look, there are reasons to watch baseball. You used to ask the question, you know, are you watching the San Diego Padres in mid-August on a Friday night? And I was always raising my hand to the radio because I like baseball. When the opportunity presents itself, I'm going to watch the games. As I said, I'm not going to tell you that I'm as completely tuned in as I used to be because I'm almost 50 and life has demanded other things from me. But it's certainly still the primary sport in my life and a pastime at this moment where I'm waiting to return to my profession on a regular basis. I mean, why wouldn't I watch some baseball if they're going to play? Why not watch the game and why not watch the team that I love attempt to come back and be something of note in seasons to come?
Dude, you're such a weird guy when it comes to food. I mean, I've known you a long, long time. Like, you don't eat cheese. You're just freaky, man. You eat like cheeseless pizza. But nice segue. I've also been out with you when you've been really normal and, you know, eat normal things. Do you eat crab cakes?
Of course I eat crab cakes. Okay. I'm from Baltimore. Now, I don't eat crabs. I've never.
I knew there was something about it. Okay. I'm from Baltimore. I eat crab cakes, but I don't eat crabs. What does that mean?
Rule number one, never eat cheese. Rule number two, always remember rule number one. Rule number three, if it was alive when you walked in the place, don't eat it. Rule number four, if it looks the way it looks when it was alive, and this applies directly to crabs, don't eat it. Rule number five, if it once flew, swam, ran, walked, roamed the earth, and it has not been cooked, don't eat it. There are many other rule number six, never eat at a bowling alley restaurant. And I'm not talking about an actual restaurant. I'm talking about that grease pit in the middle of old time.
I've had a lot of great meals at bowling alleys, dude. You never ate at Fairlane's East Point.
No, I never did. There are many other rules.
And you've never had a good French fry.
I would beg to differ.
You know where they serve those French fries? At Pizza John's. Pizza John's has crinkle, what I would call bowling alley fries, and downing Pizza John's. I love Pizza John's French fries. I love them even more with gravy and ketchup. But that's the experience I'm looking for. I don't need every fry's not created equal. You probably like it when they put all that orange sea salt crap on it. You know, I like any of that.
Go to the Brewer's Art. Get their rosemary fries with the mayonnaise. Greatest fries you'll ever have. I know a good French fry. Trust me.
Fair enough. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to eat a crab cake together this summer. I'm going to drink a beer, and you can drink whatever you want to drink. I've never seen you drink a beer, but that doesn't mean you don't.
I don't drink a beer.
I don't think you drink. Crab cake. If you and I were getting a crab cake, where's the place like your family went or like a place? If I gave you $50 and said, go buy a crab cake right this minute and bring it home, where would you go?
My sister's house, because she makes the best crab cakes in the world.
That's what I want to hear. Okay, so I'm doing this crab cake thing this year. I'm going to go out to a lot of local places. I want to support local business. I want to have great conversation. I want to invite people like you. And I know there's going to become a time where 100 of you are going to gang up on me and say, my sister, my mother, my grandmother, my aunt, you know, whatever, my husband, whatever. That's going to be later in the show. But in the beginning, we're going to go somewhere proper that's not your sister's house. Not that that's not proper. But we're going to do this. So think about it. You don't need to answer it right now. It doesn't need to be Fadley's or Costas or my sponsors. They ship them anywhere. That's the thing about a Fadley's crab cake and a Costas crab cake. You can come get it. You can come visit it. If you go to Costas, by all means, get the spinach. It's incredible. If you go to Fadley's, get the mac and cheese. It's off the hook. And get a bowl of soup. Any of the soups are great. But I would say that you can ship. You can order it anytime. But this isn't about them. I've had a million crab cakes there. As I would say to people, Fadley's, I mean, these are premium lump, local meat, all of that. Great. But very different. You know, Fadley's is mustardy a little bit, and I get a little celery seed in there. Costas is more, I would say, Old Bay forward, a little, you know, more salt forward. Delicious, fantastic. Serve with cocktail on a roll, with a pickle, with French fries, with chips, with kettle chips, even with sweet potato fries, which I don't eat, by the way. It's not my thing. I just prefer a regular sweet potato. I don't need a fry. Although I do love tempura sweet potatoes. Just my thing. It's just you don't fry sweet potatoes. What's wrong with you? So, yeah, but it doesn't matter. Even if you serve it with that, then the ultimate question, and I'll leave you with this, broiled or fried?
You know, I go back and forth on this.
Perfect. And you're that makes you a real Baltimore guy. Because to me, it doesn't matter. They're great either way. I prefer it fried. But if you serve it broiled, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not going to throw it, send it back. But if you send it home with me, I'm going to fry the hell out of that thing, whatever
it is. I will tell you this. I don't want a sandwich. I don't want a crab cake on a sandwich. I want to enjoy a crab cake on its own with maybe a little bit of like mayonnaise and horseradish on the side, just not for every bite, like maybe one every fifth bite of the crab cake.
Everybody's got something with them with crab cakes. They have a thing. And that's what I'm going to get at. I'm going to get at the personal side of you as we get to the you're going to come in and have a crab cake in baseball season with me, all right? We'll figure it out.
That sounds good. I got a couple of thoughts about other places. I'll think about them, and I'll let you know next time we talk.
Inbox me and or throw it out on Facebook, because I'm going to be asking the whole world. I mean, this is literally – I look at this as a never-ending pursuit, because, I mean, I'm going to eat a million crab cakes, and then your sister's going to say, try mine, and I'm going to try it. That's what I've decided I'm going to do. If crab cakes kill you, I'm going to die from it.
It's a good way to die.
There you go. Alan McCallum, he's not dying. He's living and waiting for the Kennedy Center to open back up. We are waiting for baseball to get going, and we'll have some more visits from Alan, as well as a lot of our baseball friends. You can find them all out at BaltimorePositive.com. Our audio vault is now up, functioning, running. You can find it on Stitcher or Google or Apple or anywhere that you serve podcasts. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Wise conversations. We're eating better, spending less, and learning more about food. We're going to be doing that with our friends at Wise, our newest sponsor. We are Baltimore Positive.